Hello, friends, and welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. Our purpose is to show you that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. We're glad you joined us here for the conversation as we're challenged from the book of 1 Samuel to let God lead. Now let's hear what Kurt has to say.
And welcome back, my friends, to today's episode of Everyday Truth. So glad you're joining us. Really privileged today to have my dear friend, Dr. Kevin Folger with us from Cleveland, Ohio, and pastored there for, Brother Kevin, how many years did you pastor?
41 years altogether.
41 years, yes, and now his son Pete is doing just such a marvelous job, and it's been my privilege over the years to be in and out of that ministry, and it really is a miracle ministry. Hey, don't judge us, but we're both drinking large McDonald's coffees today. So not much edible at McDonald's, but the coffee, honestly, is decent. So we're getting by this morning, and we're going to jump right into it. We're in 1 Samuel chapter 7, as you know, and looking forward to just to getting through a few of these sections. Brother Folger's here for our missions conference, and so anytime I've got guys like Brother Folger with his experience, his love for the Bible, I always like to pull him into the studio and talk about the Word of God. If it sounds a little bit different today, we're recording in my office at the church, and it's not EQ'd the way that a studio is, so if you're hearing a little bit of an echo, that's not you, that's me. But I think you'll be able to at least hear us okay. So thanks for your patience. 1 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 1, the Bible says, "And the men of Kirjath-Jearim," and of course they pronounce things so much differently in Hebrew. It's Kiriat is a village, Yarim. It's just a small village. Remember, the Ark of God had come back from the Philistines to Joshua's house, but the people of God had unwisely disobeyed the strictures that governed what one was to do with the ark, and they looked in it. Their curiosity was more important than their obedience, and a great number of them died, as we learned last episode. And so now they just, let's get rid of this ark. And Brother Folger, it's interesting to me because when the ark was with the Philistines, they kept on moving it from place to place because it was, you know, giving them problems.
Right.
And then when it finally comes home, it gave the people of God problems too, and they moved it. Mm. It's so interesting to me.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah.
So verse 1 again, "And the men of Kiriath-Jearim came and fetched up the ark of the Lord and brought it into the house of Abinadab in the hill and sanctified Eleazar, his son, to keep the ark of the Lord." And so a couple things I see already in verse 1. First of all, it goes to the house of Abinadab, where it's going to stay for a number of years until David actually fetches it in his reign. But I do love the fact that they sanctified Eleazar, his son, to keep the ark of the Lord. Brother Folger, just talk to me about the importance of sanctification as it relates to the service of God and the things of God.
Sure. So as I think about, obviously sanctification is a process. We should be becoming more sanctified every day. But when we think about people, in particular those that God calls to ministry, there's an element. I mean, while we're human beings, there should be an element by which we're saying, well, I want to be holy to the Lord. I want my life to be pleasing to the Lord. And of course, that may look a little differently in different people's lives than it does in my life. But it's always been my desire, and something that I've even sometimes even faced as far as my flesh is concerned, because my flesh doesn't always want to do what is spiritually what I should be doing. And so, I think that's where our personal consecration is how we become sanctified. So as I'm walking in the Word, as I'm spending time with the Lord, and you know, you're a pastor. I was a pastor. And so I would spend a lot of time in preparation for messages. But that was for people. That was for me to give out. And of course, in doing so, it helped me. But I also needed my own personal walk with God. I needed to get up early to spend time with the Lord. And so the idea of being sanctified is just something I think regardless if you're in ministry or not, we all, as God's people, should have a sense in which we're saying, okay, I want my life to be pleasing to the Lord. And I would need to be growing in grace. I need to be developing in my mind, not to be conformed to the world, but to be transformed in the renewing of my mind so that it, again, is pleasing to the Lord. So.
One thing I think that people had learned here in 1 Samuel chapter 7 is the fact that when they had treated the Ark of God in an unsanctified way,
right,
when they had just kind of treated God and the Ark of God like they would treat anything else, mm-hmm, with curiosity, hey, we can look in this, it doesn't make a difference what the Word of God says, mm-hmm, then they paid the price.
Right.
And to their credit now, I think they've learned their lesson. Mm-hmm. And now as the Ark of God comes to Abinadab, there's a sense of holy fear before the Lord,
right,
where they say, you know, we've got to do God's work in God's way. We can't play around with this.
Right.
And so to sanctify, my friends, means to make holy or to set apart. And what they're saying here is, Eleazar, you are now set apart to the service of, to the protection of the Ark of God. And you need to have this sense of, this is what your calling is. And I think it, to us today as New Testament Christians, obviously there's no Ark of God. And God doesn't meet us at one spot somewhere in Jerusalem. No, our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And in that sense, the Shekinah glory of God by His Spirit dwells in each believer. And so in that sense, the Ark of God, that's our body, that which houses the Spirit of God, we are set apart. That God has set us apart. But are we cooperating with the Spirit of God? Mm-hmm. Are we saying, I recognize the Ark of God to be holy? I recognize the purpose of God to be significant in my life. So therefore, I am going to attitudinally make sure that I am sanctified to Him. It's one thing that the ark is sanctified. It's another thing that I am sanctified to its service. As a believer, it's one thing that you are sanctified. You have been set apart. When you trusted Christ as your Savior, God set you apart unto His purpose. And He that began that good work in you, He will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. But the point is, are you in your will set apart to that which God has set you apart for? I hope that makes sense. Look at verse number 2. And it came to pass, while the ark abode in Kirjath-Jearim, that the time was long. It was 20 years. And all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. So again, the ark of God had been taken under just really bad circumstances. Remember, they had looked at the Ark of God almost as if it were a magic rabbit's foot. Well, this will save us. And Eli refused to look at the sins of his own sons. He refused to look at their disobedience. They just looked at the service of God as, this is a magic rabbit's foot. We'll take the Ark of God. We'll win. And of course, they didn't. And they lost the Ark of God. And now that it's back, they really don't know what to do with it. They don't put it in a centralized place. It's no longer under the tutelage of the priest. And it's 20 years of kind of like treadmill Christianity. It's 20 years of, we don't really know what to do and where to go. You know, Pastor Folger, you pastored for 41 years. How often did you see that in the lives of people? Where it just seemed like, well, okay, I'm serving God, the Ark of God is back, but there's no real sense of a vision and focus for the Lord.
Right. Well, I think, again, one of the reasons why they struggled so much was because Samuel was a child, and he had to grow up to become the spiritual leader. So there was a vacuum in some respects of spiritual leadership in their life. So, you know, we're jumping ahead a little bit, but, you know, you get to verse number 3, and Samuel is now a man. And so now he's calling Israel back to God, and he's going to help them understand where God needs to be and where this ark is predominant. And I know it's going to stay in Abinadab for a while, but the truth is that, or Kirjath-Jearim for a while, but the truth of the matter is that Samuel has to grow into that maturity where he becomes that spiritual leader. And I'm not saying that we have to necessarily, you know, bow at the shrine of spiritual leadership, but the need of the local church, of course, is to be pastor-led and a pastor to serve the people. But there needs to be that ongoing idea of, hey, somebody's here to challenge us to walk with God, to give us, not, there's a reason why God said the church is necessary in this generation, right? So we need to have that idea of, I need this because it helps me to be where I ought to be.
Oh, that's so good. Matter of fact, let's read that verse, yeah. Verse 3, where the Bible says that Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, if you do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. So as you pointed out, Brother Folger, there is kind of this murky middle where they've lost to the Philistines. There's a measure of victory in that they've retained the ark, but there's really not victory and there's really not defeat. And I think, as you rightly pointed out, God raises up a man of God, mm-hmm. who has a heart for God, who has a heart for the Word of God, as we've already seen in some of our previous episodes, and he really calls the people of God to wholesale obedience. Mm-hmm. What are some of the parts of verse 3 that really stick out to you about the kind of service that God's calling us to?
Well, again, you know, this idea of sanctification, if we're going to be sanctified to the Lord, there are some things we have to put out of our lives. So he tells them specifically, you know, you got to put away the strange gods. So you can't be divided. If we're going to really serve the Lord, our heart has to be wholesale, 100% to God, no shortcuts. And again, that's something that we have to face every day in our life. It's not like, okay, it's one and done. I remember the day when my life changed. You know, it was in a missions conference. I was a teenager, and you know, I had been saved, but I wasn't wholesale, wasn't 100% for God. It was kind of, that's not really what I want to do. But then God changed the direction of my life. And you know, but with that being said, okay, it was that decision, but every day now of my life, it's okay, I'm given to the Lord. Now I've got to make some real clear choices in my life. So he's saying to them, okay, this is the cutting edge decision. You it's either God or these other things. If you want God, you got to put these things out of your life, right? I mean, that's what he's saying here. And then he said, prepare your hearts. That's so critical. Our heart is, boy, Brother Barnhouse last night in the service, man, you get the heart of this man, you know? I mean, and that, to me, that's the thing that I work on the most, is my heart, because I just don't want it to be business, you know? I don't want it just to be, well, I'm a preacher, this is my business. No, I want my heart to be the heart of after God.
Amen.
And that's why David was so special to the Lord, because he was a man after God's own heart.
Yeah, keep thy heart with all diligence. Guard it. That's what that means. Right. Out of it are the issues of life. With my whole heart have I sought thee.
Yeah.
Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. And what a thought. And think about the exclusivity that Samuel is speaking of here. Returning to the Lord with all your hearts, putting away strange gods, that would be the natural action of a purified heart. But then watch this, and serve God only. I love that, serve him only.
Right.
You know, God demands exclusivity in our lives.
Absolutely.
And so often I find in my own life, I compartmentalize God. Mm. It's God and. And it really, and even a list, I think, is unwise. Like, okay, well, God's number one, my wife's number two, my kids are number three, my church is number four. No, really, it's not, that's not the way to look at it. No, it's God is number one, and there's no number two or on. So when I love my wife, it is God, through God, I'm loving my wife. Through God, I'm loving my family. But it's always of God. Mm-hmm. It's never, okay, it's time with God, and now I'm done with God.
Right.
No, it's this 24/7 empowerment, awareness, service of God that he's asking for his disciples to embrace. Well, my friends, that's all that we have time for today. But we're going to jump back into this section tomorrow. It's a great section. And I guess my thought for you today would be, you know, check your heart. You know, Brother Folger talked about it a moment ago. Prepare your heart. You know, ask God to know your heart. That's what David prayed. And let God do a work in your heart today that would cause you to serve him with the exclusivity that he deserves. So thank you, my friends, for joining us. We'll see you next episode. God bless.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If Everyday Truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.